Dear congregation, come with me for an overview of what's happening or what happened in Luke chapter 18 and 19. It's an important teaching of Jesus, but he doesn't use parables. To illustrate his teaching, he uses people's lives. And last week we looked at a portion of Luke 18, often referred to as the story of the rich young ruler. And you remember his question to Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And what did Jesus say? He said, "Sell all that you have, give to the poor, and follow me." And then it says, he was very sad because he was very wealthy. And he left. He walked away. And then, and we didn't get into this last week, but then after that, Jesus makes this comment, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Harder than a camel to go through the eye of the needle. And that troubled all the people that heard that, and they're saying to each other, well then, who can be saved? Who can be saved? In other words, we're doomed. We don't have a chance. If you hear the response, it's like they're really identifying with the rich young ruler. And then Jesus gives this comment, Luke 18, verse 27. What is impossible with man is possible with God. And then in verses 31 to 33 in chapter 18, Jesus, if you're following along, everything got changed. It's amazing. I always need pressure to get things done. All this changed yesterday. So stay with me. Some of this isn't in the bulletin. Some of you have large print. Didn't get the large print passages of this. I didn't think I could call Mara Lee yesterday at 10 o'clock at night and say, guess what? Make some changes here. Anyways, chapter 18, pages 1495 in your pew Bible. Verses 31 to 33, Jesus again teaches his disciples what this is all about. So this is a little teaching in the middle of all of these events. So it's a busy time for Jesus. There's a lot going on. And this is what he says to his disciples. We're going up to Jerusalem. Okay, this is the first Sunday of Lent. We're going up to Jerusalem. Everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He'll be handed to the Gentiles. They'll mock him. They'll insult him. They'll spit on him. They'll flog him. They'll kill him. And then the great line, on the third day, he'll rise again. It's the line they all forgot. You know the Easter story. So we pick up on the story as Jesus and his disciples are headed towards Jerusalem. And the journey takes them through Jericho. Jericho is about 15 miles northeast of Jerusalem. And so we're going to start reading, but we're going to start in Luke chapter 18. And we'll start reading at verse 35, and then we'll go right into chapter 19 through verse 10. Okay, so those are some of the changes. Luke 18, verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard the crowd going by, he asked what was happening, and they told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." And he called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him. Told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and asked the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. And Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, But because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." May God add his blessing to this holy and inspired word. Jesus, on his way to Jerusalem, has to go through Jericho. Now, Jericho has a lot of history, and we know quite a bit of it from the Old Testament. It was the home of Rahab. She's the one that hid the spies. And then famous, it's really famous because of its destruction. That's where the Israelites, they marched around the city 7 days, seven times the last day. They blow the trumpets, and the walls cave in. We know that story about Jericho. So as Jesus approaches the city, he encounters a blind man, and we didn't read that here, but the other Gospels carry this story too. His name is Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus is begging on the side of the street, and he asks, now obviously he can't see, so he has to ask, "What's all the commotion about? What's all the racket? What's the noise?" And what's the answer? "Jesus of Nazareth is coming through town." Now, Jesus has already been doing his earthly ministry now for a couple of years, so he would have somewhat of a reputation. And Bartimaeus starts shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." People don't like that. Say, "Hey, be quiet. Show some proper decorum. Act normal. Don't be so exuberant." But it doesn't deter him. Then, all of a sudden, can you think of the surprise this was for Bartimaeus? Jesus asked him, "Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do?" And he says, "Lord, I want to see. I want to see." And Jesus says, "Receive your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he receives his sight. Can you imagine how exciting that would be for him to have been blind and now suddenly he can see? And he starts praising God. All the people do too. Oh, people love the miracles that Jesus can do. Those miracles have really, really made Jesus popular. So after this story, it almost feels a little bit like an interlude, but stay with me. This all pulls together. Stay with me. Jesus continues on his way into the city, and at this point, Jericho was a very prominent city. It was a wealthy city, lots of wealthy people, and maybe none were wealthier than somebody by the name of Zacchaeus. Did you know that Zacchaeus is one of the best recognized names in the Bible when they do quizzes for people? And it's because of the song we all learned, right? Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. We all know that. And so Zacchaeus, that name always shows up as something people know. And so Zacchaeus was one of these wealthy, wealthy people. But he wasn't popular. Wealthy, but not popular. The reason being, he was the chief tax collector. And you know how you feel about the IRS. Well, Zacchaeus was the IRS of Jericho. For the Jews, that put him in a category. For fellow Jews, they looked at him as a thief and a murderer, a rapist, other low life, because he was a traitor. They had no use for Zacchaeus. But, having said all that, Jericho was the prime place for a tax collector. Jericho was on some main trading routes from east of the Jordan, coming through. The trade route would go through Jericho down to Jerusalem or continue west to the Mediterranean. It was a great place to be. It was a gold mine. It was known as the City of Palms. But Zacchaeus, a Jew, had sold out to the Romans. A traitor. He sold his soul for success. Sold his soul for what this world had to offer. But he'd done well. Very well. Just speculation, but he might have even been wealthier than that rich young ruler we read about last week. He no longer had to do the collecting himself. Others did that for him. That was the benefit of being the chief tax collector. It's a little bit like a pyramid scheme. It worked well for him. Rome told him how much to collect. And this is how it worked. If Rome said you got to collect 3% from everybody, nobody else would know that. Zacchaeus would collect 6%. Half for Rome, half for him. It was a lucrative business. It was easy to become wealthy. But people hated him. Just hated him. Despised him. And so he was wealthy, but he was also lonely. Very lonely. So lonely he became desperate. When people are desperate, they take drastic steps, drastic measures. For Zacchaeus, what was his? He was going to try and see Jesus. When you're desperate, you'll do anything. You know how that goes. If you live with constant pain, you see any commercial that says this is going to alleviate that, you're ordering. Yeah, send me some. Zacchaeus was at the bottom of the barrel. Well, let me see what this Jesus is about. He'd heard about this teacher who was amazing in what he taught and things he could do. And he had heard that this teacher hung out with tax collectors and sinners. He probably wasn't so sure if that was true. Maybe he had just heard about Bartimaeus receiving his sight. Hey, who knows? It's a grain of hope. What have I got to lose? At any rate, Zacchaeus joins the crowd, is painfully reminded of, because of his stature, he can't see over all the people. So Jesus goes by, he's still not going to see him. Plan B. Not a dignified one. Not really one to, you say, this is a cool plan. What he's going to do is he's going to run to get ahead of the crowd. In that day, grown men did not run. That was just really humiliating. Slaves ran, servants did, but not successful people. But he will run ahead, and then he'll climb this tree, and that, of course, isn't easy for a short man, to get a glimpse of Jesus from up there. And he climbs a sycamore fig tree. And I was reading, it really compares to an English oak, short trunk, wide branches, and he gets ready for Jesus passing. Who knows what might happen? And verse 5 is pretty interesting. It says, Jesus reaches the spot under the branch where he is watching, and picture being Zacchaeus. What? What did I just hear? Zacchaeus! Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house. Can you imagine how strange, how odd, how maybe unsettling that would be for Zacchaeus? He's hiding in the tree. And Jesus stops under the tree and says, Zacchaeus, come down. Immediately. So much for being inconspicuous. And do you notice how personal this is? Jesus knows him by name. Zacchaeus, come down immediately. And the way it's written, it's not a request like, would you like to come down? It's a command. Come down. And Jesus, in essence, invites himself. Today, I must stay at your house. It would be like afterwards, I'm shaking hands. I say, oh, today I'm coming to your house for Sunday dinner. I'm bringing Beth too. Today I'm coming to your house. Jesus invites himself. And my first thought was, I wonder what Zacchaeus is saying. Oh, man, is my computer open? What magazines are on the table? Is there a Bible anywhere? No, Zacchaeus doesn't say any of that. He doesn't even seem embarrassed. He seems excited. Verse 6, he welcomed Jesus gladly. I think that's really interesting. Zacchaeus, this wretched loser in the eyes of all the Jews, welcomed Jesus gladly. Verse 7 is very telling. Verse 7. All the people began to mutter. Yeah. People are so fickle. Remember Luke 18:26, the episode of the rich young ruler? The people respond to when Jesus says that, you know, the rich people can't make it to heaven. What's their response? Who then can be saved? In some ways, it's like they were identifying with this rich young ruler. They were feeling almost despondent. Who then can be saved? Worried about their own hides. And then remember Luke 18:43. That's where blind Bartimaeus suddenly gets his sight, or is restored by Jesus. And then he's praising God. And when the people saw it, they praised God. Okay, so with the rich young ruler, they were kind of worried because they put themselves in the same camp. With Bartimaeus getting his eyesight, they praised God right along with him. But you know, you got to have boundaries. And with this Zacchaeus, now they're muttering. Now they're muttering. Yeah, they didn't mind the blind guy getting his sight, but this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. What do they say? Verse 7, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. Boy, if Jesus had any credibility before this, it certainly left right there. He has gone to be the guest of a sinner. The crowd does not understand grace. Does not understand grace. I wonder how well we understand grace. We have our standards. In our minds, we have a pretty good idea how grace should be administered or should be withheld. Some people and some situations are worthy of grace. But some people are beyond that. And then we'll add, in my humble opinion, grace. In a way, we all want it, and in a way, it's mysterious to us. Are there people you've written off? Because you're like, they don't deserve grace. They don't deserve it. Back to the story, what makes these folks hypocrites? Is that they wanted to enjoy God's grace themselves, even as they decided that some other people were not worthy of it. As soon as we think we are more deserving of God's grace than the next person, we have already fallen into that trap, the sin of pride, that we're better than they are. And we forget where God found us. So back to Luke 19, Zacchaeus comes down, he makes a public profession. He says, hey, I'm going to pay back all my dishonest gains. I'll make restitution. I'm ready to follow Jesus. And then we must never lose sight of verse 10. So verse 10 is the beautiful verse in this whole passage. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. You know, that's you and me. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. That's us. That's our lifeline. And I think sometimes we get so used to kind of living the Christian life and being familiar with all of this stuff that we're no longer touched or overwhelmed by how great a price God paid so that we could be His children. And what a tremendous privilege and honor it is to be sons and daughters of the King. We need to remember who we are. We need to remember how we fit into this story. And so that's why I went back and tried to pull it all together And I'm going to try to do that now again. Remember the story of the rich young ruler. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. But then he says, with God, all things are possible. Okay? Might not be possible for man, but with God, all things are possible. And you know what? That's why you got to get to the story of Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is the example of what God can do in people's lives. Zacchaeus, the rich trader, despicable man. But he can be saved. Zacchaeus is on his way to heaven. Zacchaeus did not let his stuff get in the way in having a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Remember the rich young ruler? That's really the sad story. Too attached to his stuff to accept the invitation of Jesus. Just sell all your garbage. Follow me. Be free. What a contrast between the rich young ruler, who we would look at and say, yep, he had it all together, and Zacchaeus. And then there's Bartimaeus. And I find it real interesting that he's in the middle of the story. I think Bartimaeus represents the crowd. See, Bartimaeus was physically blind, but spiritually he had eyes to see who Jesus was. The crowd could see, but they were totally blind to who Jesus was. Too blind to cry out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. They didn't understand that Jesus had come to seek and to save the lost. And that's much more significant than the physical healing. That's why they muttered when Zacchaeus was restored. That's why they muttered when Jesus reached out and said, I've come to seek and to save the lost. And today, I'm going to be at your house. It's the first Sunday of Lent. We got to remember that this is why Jesus went to Jerusalem. Last Wednesday was Ash Wednesday. It was the start of his journey. We call it the Lenten season. He went there to die on the cross so that he might seek and save the lost. That's why he went. It's the only reason he went. It was why he came to earth. Emmanuel, God with us. So this story in Luke 18 and 19 is our story. If we just read these stories as like interesting biblical stories and we all know about Zacchaeus and we know the rich young ruler and, yeah, blind Bartimaeus, it's like we know the stories, but how does it fit in? How does it touch our lives? What does it mean to us? I think it's always important to put ourselves in the story. See, some of us are pretty attached to our lifestyles. Some of us are pretty attached to the stuff that we have. Some of us are blind. And not real flattering, but some of us are despicable. Some in the crowd, not liking how Jesus does things for people we don't approve of. Nevertheless, Jesus still says the same thing to us. Today I want to come to your house. Today, I want to come to your heart. Today, I invite you to follow me so you too can see. So you too can see like blind Bartimaeus after I touched him. And may our faith, like with Zacchaeus, welcome him gladly. Do you notice that? Zacchaeus welcomed him gladly. I think that's amazing. And may we never be like the rich young ruler who went away because he had too much. Remember, he came to seek and to save the lost. That's us. That's why we celebrate Easter. It was the whole purpose to rescue you and me. Father, we come to you. We thank you for the stories. The rich young ruler, blind Bartimaeus, Zacchaeus, the crowd, and Jesus. Thank you that we are in the story. Thank you that you ask us the same thing. Today, I want to come to your house. Father, may there always be room in our homes and in our hearts for you not to be a guest, but a permanent dweller there through the working of the Holy Spirit. Thank you again for the richness of your word. Through the power of your Spirit, may it touch each one of our hearts. And I pray, Father, that not one person who hears this lesson, this message, would walk away sad because we feel we already have so much. If there's anything I said that wasn't pleasing to you, would you also delete that from our minds? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.